Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Farron Cousins. We've got a lot to talk about on today's show, starting with, of course, the primaries this week. Donald Trump suffered two embarrassing losses in the state of Georgia. So we're going to talk about what that could mean about his power over the Republican Party. Author and YouTube host Cliff Schechter is going to be joining me to talk about the tragic school shooting that took place in Texas this week and what we can do about America's gun problem. Also joining me today, Alex Koch, senior investigative reporter for Exposed by CMD. He's going to be talking about his new report that highlights all of the billionaires who are funding some of the most extreme Republican members of Congress. If you want the full show every single week, please sign up and become a member at rofpodcast.com. Not only do you get the full show, you also get exclusive access to the Ring of Fire archives, and it's a great way to help support us. And if you want Ring of Fire every single day of the week, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. So let's start this week with just a brief discussion, because I really want to get into these interviews. They're amazing, by the way. But let's start with what happened on Tuesday. We obviously had more primaries on Tuesday, specifically Georgia. That was the big one, right? Because Georgia is the one race where Donald Trump actually went all in. He was desperate to unseat Republican Governor Brian Kemp in the state of Georgia. So he actually convinced David Perdue to run against Brian Kemp. Okay, this is not just Trump endorsed the guy. This was a man that Donald Trump had specifically chosen and essentially begged to run against Brian Kemp. So this was Trump's guy. Not only that, Trump did something in that particular race that he has not done in any other race in this country. He spent his own money. Now, as we all know, Donald Trump, between his two political action committees, has more cash on hand than the Democratic Party and the Republican Party combined. No political group in this country is holding more cash than Donald Trump, and Trump has been very stingy with it. Stingy to the point that he's really making the Republican Party mad, because he has spent $0 helping any Republicans, with, of course, the one exception. He spent $500,000 out of his roughly $100 million, spent $500,000 to help boost David Perdue in Georgia. He also showed up in Georgia, did a rally for David Perdue, went after Stacey Abrams, went after Brian Kemp. But in spite of all of Trump's best efforts, Perdue lost by more than 30 points in that primary election on Tuesday. Brad Raffensperger, another target, he is the incumbent Secretary of State for Georgia, he won his primary, even though Trump endorsed his opponent. So the two top Republicans in that state, Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger, won their primaries. In spite of Donald Trump's campaigning, in spite of Trump spending money to get these guys out of office, in spite of all of his rhetoric, it didn't matter to those voters in Georgia. Now, what I find interesting about this is I have seen so many op-eds come out in just the short time since this past Tuesday, each of them saying Donald Trump's status as a kingmaker is now gone. Donald Trump's grip over the Republican Party loosens. Okay, first of all, Donald Trump was never a kingmaker in the Republican Party, not even in this year's primaries. The vast majority of everybody that Donald Trump has endorsed were either the incumbents, who were already at a statistical advantage to win their races, or it's people who are running unopposed. So those don't really count as victories. He has only had two specific races, two races across the country so far, where the candidate he endorsed was an underdog that went on to win their election later after the endorsement. Two. So he really has two victories to speak of this year. Prior to this year, by the way, his record on endorsements was so bad that whenever he endorsed a candidate, statistically, regardless of where they stood prior to the endorsement, their support would drop below 50%. Meaning, if he endorsed you, you suddenly became less likely to win your election, even if you were already favored to win it. That's how bad he was. They've literally done studies on this, folks. They came out last summer. I talked about it at the time on Ring of Fire. So yeah, Trump's got a really bad record when it comes to endorsing people. So that's why I don't buy these op-eds. Like, oh, his status as kingmaker is gone. No, his status never existed. You, the media, gave that to him. He claimed it for himself. It was never real. It was all an illusion that others created for him. Now, as far as his grip on the Republican Party, I don't buy that either. And the reason for that is because if you were to accept that Donald Trump's grip on the Republican Party is, you know, falling apart, then you have to ignore the other half of the data, right? Because, okay, his endorsements, not doing so great. Even the people that he endorses who win, none of them have cracked 50%. Most of them hover in the 30s. But when you look at the polling data for Donald Trump himself, still hugely popular in the Republican Party, every possible 2020 Republican candidate poll has Trump at the very top and has, except for that one outlier the one time that had Ron DeSantis above him. Other than that, Trump's been at the top the entire time. On top of that, a majority of Republicans believe Trump's big lie about the election being stolen. On top of that, another poll came out this week showing that a majority of Republicans believe that their candidates this year should express loyalty to Donald Trump. Not loyalty to America, not loyalty to the rule of law or the Constitution or anything like that. Majority of Republicans only want candidates who express their loyalty to Donald Trump. So you can't look at all of that data and tell me that Trump's grip on the Republican Party is waning. Like, that's not even possible. Because they love him so much. It is the party of Trump. It is the cult of Trump. That is what the Republican Party has become today. And no amount of wishful thinking, no amount of op-eds, nothing is going to change that. Not even a couple of primary losses in the state of Georgia. So far this year, 2022, the United States is averaging about 10 mass shootings, defined as events where a single shooter kills four or more people. 10 mass shootings on average per week. Obviously, this week we had that massacre down in Texas at the elementary school. And joining me now to talk about this and so many more problems that we're having in this country with guns is Cliff Schechter. He's an author. He is a YouTube host, and he has worked diligently over the years, by the way, with gun control groups. So, Cliff, you're absolutely one of the best people to talk to about this, and it's unfortunate that we even have to have this conversation today.
Yeah, in a way, it's sad for me. I'm always in a lot more demand when this issue comes up. And I find myself, I mean, not that I'm not doing shows otherwise, but I find that I'm on a lot more just because, you know, I got passionate about it working with groups like Everytown and the Brady campaign. And, you know, we had some victories and beat the NRA on some things. I know people think that the NRA gets their way all the time. I mean, the problem is that there still are so many huge gaps. And so I've continued to write about this and I've continued to I don't have any clients on, you know, on the gun side, but just to write and try to educate. And you mentioned my YouTube channel. I've done a number of videos on there and I'm going to keep doing it. I almost feel like, you know, I have this knowledge base, right? And I have this experience and I need to share it. because there's so much. Can I curse or not?
We might be able to bleep it out, but
I'll hold it back. I can say other things. There's so much utter BS out there. And let me kick it to you so you can get to your questions. But the fact that the absurdity, let's put it that way, that this just happened, and the Republicans who aren't even really, they're not even pretending to be real people anymore. They're not even pretending to be serious people trying to solve problems and not cartoon characters. You know, the response of Ken Paxton of Texas and Ted Cruz is door control.
Yeah.
We've got too many doors. We're apparently going to be like the way to solve gun violence, everybody, is to be like the kid in Home Alone. If you can put like a bunch of wrenches above the door, so when they try to break in, it falls on their head, maybe lights their head on fire like Joe Pesci. Like, apparently that's their solution. They will talk about anything but the obvious problem here.
And, you know, let's give every teacher in the country a gun, which, right, of course, only benefits the NRA and the gun manufacturers, right, who fund the NRA. Or, you know, let's put armed guards at every single entrance, making this, you know, some kind of real police state, you know, for, right, these children. And by the way,
can I be clear? There was an armed guard there.
Yeah, exactly.
To stop him. This kid was wearing body armor. There was an armed guard at the store in Buffalo last week. The guy was wearing body armor, which, by the way, we also sell, because the NRA, if you go to their convention, you will see rows and miles of it. I went to their convention and wrote about it for the Daily Beast in 2015. Silencers, body armor, every sort of weekend overweight warrior's fantasy. And that's what they have now. So this guy, the security guard in Buffalo was killed because he shot at this guy, hit him, but the guy was wearing body armor and the guy shot back and killed him. In this case, I don't think the guard at Uvalde was killed at the school, but he couldn't do anything. He shot at him and he was wearing body armor. So again, absurd, utterly absurd.
And this shooter was in there, you know, while we're on the subject of the guards that were already there posted up the school, you know, the cops were outside. He got past the cops and they waited 60 to 90 minutes, right? You know, we're still kind of getting clarification on what happened, but they were outside, the police were at that school while the massacre was happening, to the point where parents that had also gathered were starting to say to them, why don't we just storm in? Obviously, these police, right, officers are not doing this. And it is reminiscent.
Kids were in there, I would tell you right now, they would have had to shoot me to stop me from going in there.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't even fathom that they sat there and watched this.
Well, and wasn't there also a, you know, cop on duty at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas as well? I mean, didn't we see the videos of that?
There was a cop on duty at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. If we go back in time, there were armed guards on the campus of the University of Virginia. Again, this is the red herring. They throw out things that are absolute garbage when they do this. Oh, if only, you know, there were armed guards. There are armed guards at most of these things. Oh, if teachers were only armed. Where's the money? Where are they finding the money to train teachers? Which teachers actually want to be trained to now be a shooter in addition to being somebody teaching algebra? And how many teachers, if we're being honest here, you know, most teachers I think are great, but do enough of them lack the judgment? Because in some of these places after Parkland, after Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, which you brought up, that some of these counties around the country that passed these laws that gave teachers guns were being left in bathrooms. They were being left on teachers' desks, unattended, loaded. Again, this is a dangerous weapon. You don't just sort of get handed it, except for in this country, without hours and hours of training. And I like to bring this up every time because the gun nuts, you know, they like to pretend, oh, you don't know what you're talking, you know. I spent 5 summers in New Hampshire shooting competitively every summer on a riflery team. Okay. I know the danger those weapons pose. I know how handling them, the danger that poses. One kid I'll never forget in my life, between the ages of 9 and 14, one kid with an unloaded rifle turned back towards the audience and was thrown off the range for the entire summer. I mean, they're just, if you don't have hours and hours of training, if you don't have to take a written test, do the kinds of things you have to do with a car that sort of creates muscle memory, you'll make all sorts of mistakes and those will kill people too. It's absurd.
Well, okay. So we've mentioned, right, Republicans want fewer doors. The doors that do remain, we're going to have armed guards. And a lot of these responses that these Republicans have had, whether it's public statements that they've made or what they've put on Twitter, they're literally dancing around even mentioning the words shooting or gun.
Oh, yeah.
They're not mentioning those. They're calling it this tragedy, you know, that yep. took place. Or as one of them put it, you know, the events this week. They won't even refer to it as a tragedy in some instances, just the events, you know, yeah. as if it's just a thunderstorm that rolled through. They're sick individuals. They are, absolutely. But, and of course,
and thank you for saying that, because we need to start labeling, and I'm tired of what they are. They are morally sick. They are twisted. They are evil. Let's stop sugarcoating this.
Yeah.
If your response to watching a bunch of little children be murdered in their school, if your response to that, which is how you've seen them, what you've seen, Farron, the talking points where they don't say gun and they don't say, because that night, while these bodies were still warm of these little children that were murdered because of their, I'm not going to curse, because of their policies, they were sitting there on a phone, I promise you, on a conference call, Wayne LaPierre, Ted Cruz, Mitch McConnell, they were having strategy sessions for how to best get through the next 2 weeks by lying, obfuscating, you know, saying they're going to do things to help coming. They came up with their door plan and all the other things they came up with. Like this was a strategy call they held afterwards. This is what ghouls they are. This is what cretins they are.
And, you know, one door for 700 to 800 students, depending on the size of the school, wherever it is in the country, that is a massive fire hazard that also, by the way, is going to eventually get little children killed, burned up in a fire. You can't only have one single entry point or exit point for hundreds of human beings. And of course, it's because they're not serious. We have a serious problem that is being dealt with, or not dealt with in this case, by non-serious people. And right. so you will never get a solution when half of Congress, at the very least, is just these absolute evil morons who say, well, it's not, you're politicizing it. I mean, Glenn Greenwald went on Tucker Carlson that night and said, oh, it's already being politicized. You damn right it is, because it is a political issue, because we have an entire political party that is perfectly fine with letting little kids die at school. But when it comes to their own conventions, don't you dare bring a gun in there, because they know how dangerous it is.
Right. Glenn Greenwald's political party, as he sits there and he sucks up to Tucker Carlson for every dollar he can stuff in his shirt. You know, like, I mean, that's exactly right. They've politicized this, because any other crisis like that, any other natural disaster, terrorist attack, particularly obviously what they consider terrorist attacks, which means you're not white, they react immediately. And literally, we're still at a point now because one guy tried to light his underwear on fire and failed, and a few other things, like we have to almost be molested to get on an airplane. But when it comes to this, nothing. And, you know, beyond what you're saying, the obvious fire hazard, right? One door, one entry and exit point. Like, that is literally pointing out to anybody who wants to be a school shooter exactly where they need to wait.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least in these other situations, people can jump out of multiple windows, run out of multiple doors. One exit and entry point? You think that with a bunch of guards, what are you going to do? We're going to start having it like where the guards are going to escort every kid to their bulletproof car with their car with bulletproof glass. I mean, it's absurd. And again, you know, I sent out a tweet, and I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm going to read it to you because to me, it makes the point, and it's what everybody needs to know. Is going to, oh, what proof do you have of this? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, this tweet at this point, maybe the most viral one I've ever sent out. I think it's got 187,000 likes and about 36,000 retweets. And if you can, I read it to you just very quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
Farron?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I wrote. As a reminder, we have zero proof, zero, that gun laws work. You know, if you don't include Japan, the United Kingdom, Belgium, Canada, Iceland, Romania, Norway, Austria, Argentina, the Netherlands, South Korea, Italy, Greece, Chile, France, Spain, Sweden, Singapore, Portugal, Israel, Czechia, Denmark, Taiwan, Switzerland, Poland, Germany, Luxembourg, Malta, Australia, Estonia, Croatia, New Zealand, Ireland, Slovakia, Latvia, Slovenia, San Marino, Andorra, Monaco, and Lithuania. That's right. If we look at every single one on that list that I just listed for you, that are all what we would consider other high-income countries, comparable as apples to apples to the United States, the worst of any of them, Argentina and Chile, have 50% of our gun violence. That's the worst. And it's not even 50%. I think it's 2.8 murders by firearm, homicides by firearm per 100,000 in Argentina, and it's 5.7 here. So it's actually a little bit less. They've got about 45% or so. That's the worst. If you go down that list of places, most of those places have 30%, 20%. Some of them have 5% of the gun violence we have. Why? Because they all have enacted what any science tells you will work. They all have universal background checks. They all have pretty, I think there may be one or two exceptions, have banned assault rifles. They all have red flag laws where they can take guns away from people that are posing a risk. The bar to owning guns, and it's different in different countries. In a few countries which we could be more like, where there could still be personal ownership of guns, Canada, Switzerland, it's a little bit higher. In ones like Japan, the United Kingdom, it barely exists. But the countries I just named, like Canada, psych evaluations like once a year, background checks, like once a year, a limit on the size of the magazine, a limit on what kinds of guns you can get. You have to get a permit. You have to get a license. You have to show on a range you know what you're doing over hundreds of hours. You have to take a written test. I mean, you have to have neighbors and people who know you vouch for you. Like, we can go on and on. This is what sane countries do, even sane countries that allow people to own guns. And this is why not one of them approaches our gun violence in this country.
Well, and, you know, especially in Canada, too, they actually have very real, you know, wildlife threats that could easily warrant these weapons. You know, polar bears are one of the few animals on the planet that actually view humans as a food source. And so, yes, that is a very real problem. Just to kind of point that out to people, too, it's not like in the United States where, oh, my God, a rattlesnake, bring me my AR-15 so I can take him out instead of just moving away.
Well, and they have rifles and shotguns and things for hunting, and they have looser, you still have to get licenses, but they have looser requirements around those because it's really hard to run into a Buffalo supermarket or a school with a rifle that's a six shooter and take out the entire place when it's a 22. You know what I mean? Like, it boggles the mind. Like, we are not trying. We're actually doing the opposite of that. Right now in Ohio here, where we're gerrymandered like you are in Florida, I just read their response to this is they're going to loosen gun laws now.
Yeah.
I mean, we are being ruled by gerrymandered, insane people. That is what – they're not serious people, as you said.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, I saw a poll again this morning, you know, more than 80% of the public wants universal background checks. More than 80% of the public is okay with an assault weapons ban. All of the numbers about any gun control issue are all polling over 80
child safety locks,
right? Over 80%. So this is not a left or right issue. Let's be very clear. In the general public, it is not a left or right issue. Nope. The only place where it is in Congress and in these state legislatures, where these damn Republicans who control everything, even when Democrats have the majorities, these Republicans are the only people holding this up. The general public, left, right, center, you know, far right, far left, everybody for the most part is saying the same thing. Let's do NRA members. 80% of NRA members say, let's do something because this is horrible.
And there's no difference at this point between gun owners and non-gun owners.
Right. There is a consensus.
Yep.
So it's just crazy that we cannot have movement on this. I mean, yeah, the NRA has money, but so does Exxon. You know what? Go get more money from Amazon. Go get more money from Google if you have to. The NRA money, while it is a lot in the grand scheme of things, it actually isn't. The NRA's success rate in giving people money is horrible They've got about a 8 or 9% success rate with people they back. They are politically impotent. It's all a mirage that these Republicans keep calling for.
Russian spy infiltrated.
Yeah.
They've mixed C3, which are charity funds, with their PAC. I mean, how they even still have tax-exempt status for their 501c3 division, how they still exist is, again, to me, what the hell is the DOJ doing? What's the IRS doing? These people should be out of business. They've broken so many laws. They're in litigation with each other, so we're getting discovery where they're fighting over stuff, and so we're finding out about Wayne LaPierre's yacht that he took, you know, membership funds to go get, you know, and his 8,000 or whatever suits he has in his closet. I mean, these are sick people. They are morally sick people.
And it's,
they're making policy for us right now. I do think it's really important, though, to say one other thing, which is, again, they are 98% of the problem. But yep. Right now in Washington, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are the problem, too. And I'm not letting them off the hook.
Oh, absolutely.
If they would get rid of the GD, sorry, I won't even say that word, filibuster. If they would get rid of that, then would we have the votes for the kind of robust gun control that is really needed to get us to where Canada is? No. But we would have Susan Collins and Pat Toomey both voted for the laws after Newtown. They're the two of the four Republicans still there who voted for those. And maybe at this point, a few of the ones that didn't, like Lisa Murkowski or someone, would rethink it. The point is we've got, you know, and we wouldn't even need them if we got rid of the filibuster. We'd only need 50. But we had over 50 votes after Newtown for two important bills, universal background checks and an anti-gun trafficking law. And if people don't know what that means, it's pretty simple, right? So Cliff Schechter has a criminal record, and I can't buy a gun in the state of Florida where I live. But Farron Cousins can. So what Farron Cousins does is I give Farron the money. He goes in, he buys a bunch of guns, and he comes out because he passed a check, you know, in this federal government location where you have to actually go through checks. You don't even have to do that everywhere. And then he sold them to me. That's gun trafficking. It is illegal straw purchasing gun trafficking. And there was we had 55 votes or so, 56 maybe, or 57 for that law too. But Mitch McConnell filibustered both of them. He is the bane. He is the leading reason, Mitch McConnell, why people die every day from guns. And at this point, I got to be honest, Joe Manchin isn't far behind in Kyrsten Sinema. Because if we could get rid of the filibuster, we could get those two laws right away. I think we could get red flag laws, and I think we likely could get child safety laws. I don't know if we would get the assault weapons ban or everything we want. But again, this is a public health problem. Every time you do something positive, you make a dent in it, and you save lives, and that's what it's about.
Well, you know, and what's interesting, too, is we recently raised the smoking age. You know, it used to be 18. Now it's 21 because we decided, you know what, you need to have a little bit more brain development before you take up this habit that will eventually kill you. Right. Exactly. But yet with guns, I mean, in some states, it's not even 18. It's much younger than that. You can go and buy this gun. So what the government is basically telling us is, look, we don't want you killing yourself with a cigarette. But if you want to kill other things with a gun, then hell yeah, just don't hurt yourself. But you can hurt everybody else.
Your judgment with the cigarette or the booze. We trust your judgment with a 50 caliber rifle that actually can take down a helicopter.
Yeah.
You trust your judgment with that.
You can buy the guns. You can take out $80,000 in student loans. But, you know, you can't have that beer yet because you're just not there mentally. But you can sign banking documents and buy weapons. Look, we're such an ass backwards country at this point. We truly are, not just on the gun issue, but on so many other areas where this country is just quite literally moving backwards. And it all, you know, the moving backwards is all at the hands of these Republicans and, you know, Sinema and Manchin, who aren't letting us move forward federally. So it's just it's easy to feel helpless right now. In the face of all of this that is happening, it is very easy to feel helpless. And
it is.
I don't want to feel that way, but I'll admit what I do many times.
Sometimes what I would say to people on all of these things is feel helpless for a bit, for a day or two, and then rebound like you do in your personal life. You know, you lose a big client or you break up with somebody or, you know, something happens and you have to take a little bit of time, as we all do, to sort of take care of your mental health, but don't leave the game permanently. I will feel helpless for a day or two. And then I'll remember, again, as awful as this is, you know, after what happened in your state, we did pass actually some laws, not nearly enough, but I believe you guys passed a red flag law. I think you raised the age to 21 in your state. You did a number of things. And I promise you, if you were to look at it statistically, which I'm not smart enough to do, but if you were to look at, like, do regression analysis and whatever, you would find you've saved lives there. Every little bit helps. Numerous states, Vermont, Delaware, Virginia, which is a bigger one, when we took control, passed universal background checks when Democrats took over after Parkland and whatever. And that meant, you know, I don't know the size. I'd have a million more people were living under places where to get a gun, you need a universal background check. Every state matters. You know, every statement you make, which is why I'm screaming and yelling that they need to hold a damn vote right now. I'm sick of the weakness on our side. I'm sick of the, oh, well, they won't vote for it anyhow. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but, like, that's not why you don't hold the vote. Put them on the record. Put them on the record on it.
All right, Cliff, real quick, I'm going to shift topics just for a moment because I want you to talk about, I've been following your YouTube channel. We've talked about it last time I had you on. The growth on it, looking great, man. So plug that a little bit for everybody so we can draw more people over there.
Yeah, folks, if you like what Farron does, I mean, he's obviously smarter than me and better looking. So, but it's similar in that I will give you a couple of shorter commentaries, anywhere from 2 to 4. They tend to be mostly in the 3 to 6 minute range, but I'll also do some that are those shorts that are, you know, I wrote ads for Biden, I do other stuff, but I'm an outsider at this point and by choice. Because I want to be able to criticize what is wrong. I mean, 99% again, Republicans. So again, if you like what Farron's doing, you'll like what I'm doing. It's 5 minutes of your time. I promise. Come by and subscribe. I'm at youtube.com/C Schechter, which is letter C and then S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. That is youtube.com/C Schechter. C-S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. T-E-R. And we honestly have had, I mean, we started off, obviously, it was the beginning of a channel with almost nothing, but we've had, you know, whatever it is, 50,000% growth over 3 weeks. So, I mean, come by, subscribe, join. It's a community, and I'm going to do my best to get you the best information while hopefully making you laugh now and again.
Absolutely. Cliff Schechter, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I wish it was under more pleasant circumstances, yeah. But... thank you again for joining us. You're always welcome here at Ring of Fire. You've been one of our favorite people ever since the beginning of Ring of Fire. Yes, that is how long we have been with this relationship with Cliff. So thank you very much, Cliff. We appreciate it. That's it for the free portion of this week's episode of Ring of Fire. But if you want the rest of the show and access to all of the Ring of Fire archives, please go to rofpodcast.com and sign up to become a member.